Super Talk Mississippi Media Production.
Southern Equipment and Parts in Laurel is your go-to spot for all things tractor and heavy equipment. From sales to service and even locating that hard-to-find part, we can handle it all. We even have rentals. For all your tractor and heavy equipment needs, visit Southern Equipment in Laurel or call 601-651-4555.
Roll free record on my count. 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2. Roll A, fade up on A.
Southern Miss to the top. To the top. You're tuned in to the Eagle Hour.
All right, let's go. Super Talk Eagle Hour back on the road. It's been a long week of road trips, but we love every one of them. We're at Ramey Motors in Purvis today. We're glad you're tuned in this afternoon, as you do every day, and looking forward to talking to our good buddies here at Ramey Motors. Always fun to come down here. There's a little bit of everything at Ramey Motors, as you well know, and we'll be talking about that later in the show. All right, we're going to be talking about Southern Miss Raging Cajun baseball here just shortly with their longtime play-by-play man, Jay Walker. Looking forward to that. But first, we want to start off this Friday. Going down to New Orleans, Patrick McGee from NOLA.com. Patrick, I know how beloved you are in Lafayette, and we're hearing rumor that there is going to be a Patrick McGee, Danny Lynch night tonight down at Louisiana. Are you excited about that?
Well, I'm sure Lynch is much more respected and hated than I am in Lafayette these days. I'm sure they have forget. Even though I'm down here, thankfully I'm in a position now where they can easily forget my name. So I've been happily living in anonymity.
ULL, that's what they love you about it. And when you called them ULL.
Yeah, when I called them by the name of the university they attend, they didn't like it. No.
All right, Patrick, a lot of money spent last night. It's the NFL draft, opening night of the draft. Let's talk to you about the Saints. Your thoughts about the first player picked by New Orleans.
Yeah, Taliese Fuaga. I probably butchered that, but I think that's right. An offensive lineman out of Oregon State. You know, they had the offensive lineman out of Penn State kind of appeared to be plan A, but Fuaga, I think, was always kind of thought of as, if they can't get him, that Fuaga really kind of made a lot of sense. And if you look at him in the season he had, his final year at Oregon State, didn't allow a sack. You know, he wasn't deemed the perfect prospect coming out of college, but he's somebody that I think everybody expects to really kind of develop into a potentially a Pro Bowl type offensive lineman. So I think the Saints kind of, you know, fit what they need. He's going to be a guy who's versatile. I think the expectation that he's going to be a right tackle, but he also has the potential to play right guard, and I'm sure they'll probably consider taking a look at him at left tackle. These are, you know, left guard, left tackle, and right tackle are really positions that the Saints really needed to address, and I think they think Fuag is going to be able to fit in and really, you know, just be a guy that can start right away regardless of where they, you know, regardless of where he winds up position-wise.
All right, number one in the books, where do they go from now? What do you think the emphasis will be for New Orleans?
I mean, they're in such dire need, you know, offensive linemen. I'm of the belief that it makes sense maybe even go ahead and take another offensive lineman, maybe two more in this draft. And I don't know if they'll do that. I mean, you're looking at situation Jane Kearse, who was their left guard and played left tackle for the Saints. He retired. Announced his retirement right before the draft. Andrews Pizza, who started at left tackle, was a longtime left guard, but did really well at left tackle. He's in free agency right now. I guess there's still a chance they can maybe bring him back, but that's probably leaning towards doubtful. And then Ryan Tramchek, the right tackle, has a knee injury that, you know, could be career threatening. So that tells you the situation the Saints are in. But I think also that the Saints could look at receiver, another position where they don't have great depth, or, you know, they have Olave and Shaheed, but outside of that, you don't really see great quality. So, something like a Florida State's Keon Coleman is a guy that's been attached to the Saints for quite a while now. And he's a taller guy, 6'3", you know, can play on the outside. I think maybe he's somebody that could potentially fit in as a starter, replacing Michael Thomas.
Yeah, we know Coleman well after what he did to the to the Eagle defense last year. McConkey probably will be off the board, but Saints with the 13th pick. A lot of skill players, Patrick, in that as well. I want to expand out a little bit. I think all of us were shocked, and this is NFC South related. Just the Michael Penix Jr. pick at 8 to Atlanta. And what it wasn't that, you know, you take Penix at a much higher spot than what he was, but they just signed Kirk Cousins to a $180 million deal and found out after the draft that Cousins only found out about the pick while Atlanta was on the clock. Like, what does that whole situation mean for the NFC South and your thoughts about the Penix pick?
Well, I think for the rest of the NFC South, it's good news outside of Atlanta. That made no sense. When you sign a guy like Kirk Cousins as your quarterback, you give him a 4-year deal. I think he's got 2 years guaranteed. You better win right now, you know. And for them to go with the quarterback who's going to, you know, potentially sit the bench for at least 2 years, not be able to make much of an impact. Of course, we all know in this league there's a chance he can play any week. But still, in terms of you make a serious commitment to Kirk Cousins and then you draft a quarterback in the top 10, when you had a chance to bolster an offense that was kind of lacking in skill guys. You have a good, you know, talented run back in Bijan Robinson, but at receiver, it was kind of a hot mess. It was painful to watch that offense at times this year. And I know part of that was probably, you know, really mediocre quarterback play. But they had a chance to really kind of give that offense another jolt, and they decided to, you know, make a selection that maybe comes into play 3 years from now. So the Falcons fans freaked out and really disliked it, and the more you hear about it, the more you dislike it. I think they were trying to float rumors out there. Oh, three other teams are trying to trade into the top 10 and draft Michael Penix. I don't believe that for a minute. I think the Falcons just screwed up.
Patrick, one of the things you talked about is maybe bolstering, getting another offensive lineman in this draft. And, of course, one of the pieces of the puzzle in this deal is you look at draft classes as a whole, and I think one of the things they'll have to talk about is how strong is the offensive line class next year, you know, going to be, and will you be able to go after them? But meanwhile, the Saints are back on the clock, so to speak, in the second round when they were not originally going to be there because of something that doesn't happen very often. A coach is snatched away, and they're rewarded with draft picks. To the layperson listening at home, explain how that works, how teams are compensated for when their coach leaves.
Yeah, I mean, it's not that different than trading a player. It's just, you know, negotiating compensation whenever you have a coach still on contract. Sean Payton was still on contract with the Saints, even though he left the team. So for him to – if he had waited a year, the Saints wouldn't have really – you know, they would have been kind of left out in the cold. But since he went ahead and joined the Broncos before the 2023 season, the Saints were able to negotiate significant compensation. So that's how the Saints are back in the second round, and right now that's the only pick they'll have tonight. Saints do not currently have a pick in the third round. And you know, you talked about offensive line. I think some of the names right now that we have on our website right now, there's a story that kind of points to guys that could be obvious candidates. You got Washington's offensive tackle, Roger Rosengarten. You have Connecticut offensive guard Christian Haynes, TCU guard Brandon Coleman. Those are some names to keep an eye on. And I just think it makes sense for the Saints to just go all in here early in the draft and go offensive line just because it's such a serious need.
What though, because I felt like when Bowers went to Las Vegas, you take Fuega, the Fashanu went earlier, higher, and I was almost at that point. If Bowers would have been there, I was just, you know, best available. But the more that I read about Fuega, he's just a nasty dude. I love his tape. But, Patrick, you know, I'm looking at a best available award. You know, some of those guys that are next available would be almost third-round guys. If you've got who you said earlier, Keon Coleman, or if Mitchell from Texas should fall, or, you know, if Jonathan Brooks from Texas, a running back's there. I know what you've got. But at what point do you size it up on the best player available versus going after a need where you will get someone that may not be second-round talent?
Yeah, I'm kind of going into tonight was thinking that there may be, you know, it was fairly predictable on day one, aside from some under. I think there's probably going to be some movement. Maybe Marshawn Lattimore goes tonight, you know. Maybe they can get a high second-round draft pick or something like that. I mean, but I would, you know, the Saints probably were hoping they'd get a first-round. My thought is that they, for Lattimore, they probably won't get a first-rounder, but they can maybe get multiple lower picks. That could happen. But in terms of, like, best on the board, I'm not, you know, you look at these names, you're not thinking – you know, and I'm not familiar enough with everybody who's still remaining out there, but just my impression is like there's no game changers, but there's guys that are going to be quality, just like it is in every NFL draft. Usually, you know, the best teams are built in the second, third, and fourth round. And whenever the Saints have had their best draft, it's because they really identified guys like that. But the Saints have, what, three, four picks in the fifth round? They just really have to do this. They have to do this right, you know. Maybe they move it, trade a couple of those fifth rounders to move up or something like that. So it makes sense the way this draft is stacked is for the Saints to kind of start trying to find a deal to where they can move back up into the second or third round.
All right, Patrick, keep your eye on it for us. We're out of time, but look forward to having you back on the show. We'll get the other side of the Saints draft selections when we talk to you next.
Okay, thanks, guys.
All right, Patrick McGee, everybody, NOLA.com. All right, going to turn our attention to baseball. Big, big series for the Golden Eagles tonight. We'll be talking to the man who will be doing the play-by-play for those nasty Raging Cajuns next. Stay with us.
Robinson Electric Supply in Laurel is a wholesaler and distributor that has been powering our community for over 20 years. With everything from conduits to tape, tools to home automation devices, if you can think of it, we supply it. All you need to do is talk us through the project at hand, and we'll ensure you're equipped to get it done right. To get all the electrical supplies you need, visit Robinson Electric at 519 North 13th Avenue or call us at 601-649-1317.
The Eagle Hour, Southern Miss to the top.
All right, welcome back. Super Talk Eagle Hour on the road. We're at Ramey Motors down here in Purvis, and we'll have Dakota, we believe, on the show here in a little bit. If not, this lovely receptionist sitting right here behind us, she's going to take his place. And
we made her a star last show, Bob.
Yeah, she's trying to ignore me, but the receptionist will be on the show here. And just a
she's
couple
got
of
representation
moments.
Now.
I can
an
see
an agent
that.
In the whole
bit. I can
bit.
See that. Yeah. Hey, Jay Walker's no stranger to the Eagle Hour, and we always enjoy our conversations with him. Play-by-play man, of course, for the Raging Cajuns of the University of Louisiana. All right, Jay, a big, big, big series this weekend. Before we get to that, I was asked this question last night. I didn't have an answer. A friend of mine went back to the championship game last year between Southern Miss and Louisiana, and asked me to find out what percentage of that team returned this year for the Raging Cajuns.
Well, as far as the starting lineup is concerned, second baseman and the shortstop, Taylor and DeBarge, the left fielder, Higgs. Fluno is the only starting pitcher that has returned. Several guys in the bullpen have returned also. But as far as the top nine guys, three of the nine remain.
So about a third of the team. Well, it's been a great year right now for Louisiana. They lead the league. They're 30-plus wins already. What's been the sauce? What's been working so well for the Cajuns?
This team can pitch, and the pitching staff is deep. Probably the deepest pitching staff we've had in a while. You know, we've got 12 guys that have thrown double-digit innings, 10 of them in conference play, and we don't have anybody who's thrown 50 innings this year. They've gone ahead and spread it around. In addition, this team has done a good job as the season has progressed, hitting 1-9. Now, you know, none of them are going to tear the cover off the ball except maybe for DeBarge, but they're all now hitting in that 280 to 310 range, and there really isn't a spot in the lineup that you say, okay, this guy's an automatic out. So I think a combination of both of those two, but But it all starts with pitching for the Cajuns. They've got a team ERA under four for the season, and their team ERA in conference play is under three. So that's been what's made it work.
Yeah, Jay, the Eagles are suffering from a lot of injuries on the pitching staff. Overall, how's the physical well-being of the Cajuns?
Oh, no, they're healthy. We had some everyday players that have, you know, missed a couple, three games here and there. We had a couple of guys that we shut down for a couple of weeks in the bullpen because they were a little tender. But overall, this team has stayed pretty healthy.
Yeah, that's not necessarily good news for Eagle fans, because we talk about how important the depth of a healthy, you know, pitching staff can be. But, man, this has got to be the hottest ticket in town this weekend. These two teams are not only traditionally very good, but it's usually when the smoke clears, they're always near the top. This got the makings for a great series this weekend.
I totally agree. Tonight's game especially, I think tickets are going to be very, very scarce. That's always the biggest crowd of the weekend for the Cajuns is on Friday night. Saturday, they are going to honor the 2014 team, which is the team that won 58 games and was ranked number one in the country in every poll. And then Sunday, we have a new governor. He's coming out to throw the first pitch. I don't think that's going to sell any tickets. But the guy is a UL grad, so that's kind of cool.
Jay, Luke here. Thanks so much for coming on. I do want to bring this up. You're an objective guy. I think you'll understand where this is coming from. We've been looking at the schedule, and to your point, Cajuns are one of the best pitching teams in this conference, without a doubt. Tell us, though, how last weekend was different, because it was, you know, Coastal was a different animal on anybody's schedule, but the first half of the conference season was a little lighter on the Cajuns than what they will face the second half.
Well, that's true. And at the same time, the only thing you can do is play the schedule that's given you.
Sure.
And I don't know of anybody who could have gone 14-1 against what we played.
Fair.
Here's a for instance. We're the only team that has swept ULM in a conference series this year. And that's true of a couple of others. Old Dominion came to town. They scored one run in three games. You know, you guys played Marshall early in the season. You know that they can pitch, but they scored one run in three games.
Sure.
This team has pitched extremely well at home. And I'll tell you about last weekend. When you go to Coastal Carolina, that is a totally different animal than any other ballpark in this league. Because, first of all, those suckers can really hit the baseball. And secondly, I don't know if there's a better hitter's park in this league, except maybe for Georgia State. So,
amen.
We knew Coastal was going to score some runs. Okay, we knew that. But it's really hard to play in that ballpark, and there's a reason why Coastal plays all of their non-conference games pretty much at home, because they're really, really tough to beat there.
Yeah, and I appreciate that, and I think you understood what I was meaning that. But, yeah, to your point, 14-1, unbelievable. Tell us about your closer. I don't want to mispronounce his last name. He is absolutely phenomenal. 74 strikeouts in 42 2/3 innings. He is one of the best relief pitchers in the entire country.
He is, and it's, you know, a little funny story. I met him before the season started, and I asked him to say his last name, and his response was Langevin. And I said, dude, you're from Quebec. I said, down here in South Louisiana, where we got a lot of French people, we would call that Langevin. And he looked at me and he said, well, actually, that's how you say it. So the answer to your question is Langevin. I'll tell you what makes him special. First of all, his delivery is effortless. He throws as easy a 95-mile-an-hour fastball as I think I've ever seen. But I think what makes him so tough is his spin rate on his fastball is about 2,700. So you got 95 coming at you, and it's going to break about a foot. So best of luck hitting it. You know, he pitched five perfect innings at Coastal last weekend with 10 punch-outs. And in that ballpark, that's awfully impressive.
It really is. Last question from me. Talk about what you've seen from the Sun Belt this year. You know, our first year last year, as tough as it was, it just seems it's even more of a gauntlet this year.
You know, it really is. And one of the things that I'm seeing is there are a lot of teams that struggle to win on the road. And conversely, there are a couple of teams that are really good at home. You know, if you go to Huntington and play Marshall, who's near last place in the league, you're going to have a fight on your hands because they play well there. But I think they've won exactly one road game this year. Coastal Carolina's been great at home, but they're under 500 on the road. Georgia Southern's been very good at home. They've struggled on the road. James Madison, the same thing. So whoever's going to win this league is going to be the team, I think, with the best road record. That's the team that's going to wind up winning it.
All right, Jay, tell our fans that are on their way down there, what do you anticipate the atmosphere being like? And let me preface my question by saying this. I think it's fair to say that when the Cajuns come here, there's just a little extra juice in the air. We just see that, you know, as just a natural rivalry and always hyper-competitive athletic events. How do the Cajun fans view Southern Miss coming to your place in baseball?
Well, I think you're absolutely right. And I think, I think tonight especially you're going to have a regional atmosphere here. Now, one of the things that you're fighting this weekend is Festival International, which is the biggest music festival that this area has. And what makes it different is all of the bands come from countries that have French influence, because of course this is French Louisiana down here. So the downtown area is going to have like six different stages with simultaneous entertainment, bands from all over the world. The festival is free, there's no admission, and I don't think that's going to hurt the crowd tonight, but it may hurt the crowd tomorrow afternoon and Sunday as well. But tonight you're going to have a regional atmosphere at Russo Park.
It's going to be great. And I guess our guys can look forward to a warm, fuzzy, kumbaya greeting by your fan base for the Golden Eagles. Is that fair to say, Joe?
That's absolutely correct. Now, we have a group that sits in the bleachers behind the visiting dugout, and they're called Section A, and they're probably rated PG-13, and they are going to make some of your players' lives miserable, but at the end of the game, they're going to invite you to their tailgate to come eat and drink with them. So they're very hospitable, except in innings 1 through 9.
Hey, just remind them Danny Lynch is in that dugout. Just remind them.
Hey,
You know, Danny Lynch has probably kicked our ass worse than any ball player in the 32 years that I've been doing this. But guess what, guys? He's out of eligibility. And honestly, if I see one thing that's different about Southern Miss this year, is they're not quite as arrogant swinging the bat. And I use the word arrogant as a compliment. I use that as a compliment.
Jay, we're out of time.
Danny is more than welcome to he can come up to the booth and do color if he wants to. I don't care.
There we go. All right, Jay. Thanks, buddy. You're the best. Jay Walker. We'll be right back.
Robinson Electric Supply in Laurel is a wholesaler and distributor that has been powering our community for over 20 years. With everything from conduits to tape, tools to home automation devices, if you can think of it, we supply it. All you need to do is talk us through the project at hand, and we'll ensure you're equipped to get it done right. To get all the electrical supplies you need, visit Robinson Electric at 519 North 13th Avenue or call us at 601-649-1317.
You're tuned in to the Eagle Hour. The Eagle Hour. Southern Miss to the top.
All right, welcome back. We're at Ramey Motors down in Purvis. We've got Dakota with us. No trip to Ramey Motors is complete without that. Jay Walker, Maybe one of the best interviews we've had in a long time.
Yeah, and he's been doing it a long time. I mean, he is Mr. Ragin' Cajun.
Is he not?
He really busy on game days, so really cool. He always enjoys being on the show. We always enjoy being with him.
That's the two best interviews. Terry Robichaud, when he was on the show several years ago, was a priceless 30-minute interview, and we like Jay Walker a lot.
But we don't know if it cutoff went to break. Jay Walker basically said that Danny Lynch could come do color with him if he wanted to.
He'd be welcomed warmly, I'm sure. You talk about juice being in the air for this series, yeah. Bob. There'll be some juice consumed down there, too.
There's going to be juice consumed and juice in the air.
And by the way, during the commercial break, Dakota Baker from Ramey Motors joins us. He's not scared of how do we pronounce the closer's name?
He's from
Quebec.
Yeah.
Go ahead. How do you pronounce it?
How do you get a kid from?
It's Langevin. So we all thought it was Langevin, but then Jay gave the real pronunciation of it, the French.
Langevin?
Langevin. Yeah.
Langevin.
Dakota said he wasn't scared.
When you play with the Cajuns, you learn them too, because right. That's what they are down in the bayou.
That's pretty good.
I'm telling you, you work offshore, you play the ball with them.
Hit that guy tonight, couldn't you? The 95-mile-an-hour ball.
Right now, no, I look like a goober. But now back in the gap, I'd give him a run for his money, Kelly.
Back in the day, you'd knock him in the gap.
I would give it all I had, man. Ain't no doubt.
Hey, we're happy to say that after 6 hours, Kelly had a blood test this morning at 8 o'clock. He's been wearing a bandage since 8 o'clock this morning, and we finally shamed him into taking it off, and he survived. Did you see that, Dakota?
Did you have to fast to do that?
Yes. I did. That's the worst part.
During the NFL draft.
Yeah, they don't want you to eat or drink for that stuff. Well, you guys are hating on me all the time. But like I said, my parents even hated me. My bathtub toys.
Was a toaster.
A radio and a toaster. Yeah. I mean, what a crowd. What a crowd. You know?
Take it away, Dakota.
Good Lord, man. Hey, I'm just glad to see you guys back, man.
And we talk about Ramey Motors, but power sports is what we need to talk about.
Yeah, so here lately, Honda's rolled out some good stuff for us.
They didn't like me, Bob. They still, you know, I was left out of the wheel.
You know? Microwave.
Yeah.
You did.
Get that 1,500-watt microwave.
Try playing in the bathtub with a toaster and a
Dakota,
radio.
The only mother in history that gave his child a toaster to play with in the bathroom.
That's me.
That's solid. That's
love you, right. Mom. Love you, Mom.
Tell us about Ramey Motors.
So, man, right now everything's rocking and rolling. You know, tax money's coming in. Honda's rolled out some really good rates for us on side-by-sides and four-wheelers. You know, they're running 1.9% rates right now, up to 36 months, 3.9 to 60. And we've also got some 72-month terms at 3.9 on the bigger side-by-sides. We're seeing a lot of 0% on all of our tractors right now. Boat rates are starting to trend back down. We're using some local credit unions for that. You can finance. Local guys are hard. You can't do that 20-year loan, but you can do the 8 or 9 year, get the lower interest rate, and really it kind of balances itself out with that 15-year at a higher rate versus a 9-year with a decent rate. So we've been doing really good with our river boats here lately, especially our Allwell, G3, Legend Crafts. We've really hit the jet motor game hard, running shallow down here, because, I mean, you know how the waters and all rise down here, up and down, and you'd be, I mean, most of the prop engines, it's hard to do without having setback, jack, and kick and all on them now. So we've been kicking it hard, dude, like really hard. I mean, I think just this week, I mean, just speaking on me, but the other guys, I think we've sold 14 boats this week alone, probably 9 or 10 Hondas and 13 tractors. So things are popping, man. It's a good, been blessed, and hopefully we can, you know, keep rolling with it. Right now, cars, we finally got some good inventory on cars. Prices have come back down, rates according to that is as well too, so it's more affordable now to buy the used car and go back to the used market versus new. And then motorhomes, we've been slung a bunch of those here lately. We've down to two Class C's, and then probably 9 or 10 campers, trying to get those. I mean, we're selling those at invoice right now, just trying to get ready to freshen up for the new year models.
I see a lot of baby boomers. You know, of course, we're kind of at the end of the baby boomers starting to retire, but they really seem to be attracted to the camper, motorhome kind of life.
I mean, it is you're speaking of yourself in the third person.
Correct.
Okay.
But I, something like that, you got to know what you're doing. And I couldn't, I couldn't fix things. I mean, I'd never be a good terrorist because if they told me to blow up a car, I'd burn my lips on the exhaust pipe.
Those have toasters and radios in them. Most of them have microwaves as well.
Well, that,
they got, yeah, don't play in the bathtub.
Yeah,
in those,
yeah, well, okay.
Yeah. I think the blood test kind of
Let's talk about Honda. Let's talk about all of these cool
sit on this thing
cadets
while we're talking about it, Kelly.
And Cubs. You got Shadows. But before we get to, you know, SUVs, before we get to motorcycles, what do you call these to your left? All of the, like, this genre of Honda motor vehicle.
We would have called them scooters.
The Metropolitan. There.
Scooters is right, but this is more of your vintage stuff that, like, Kelly and Bob, this is the old, like, this was a replica, basically, of the old Super Cubs from y'all's time. The Metropolitans are the same way. Now, the PSX, the PCX, that's just your regular scooter that'll actually run, like, 75 miles an hour. But it's just our scooter line right here. Oh, yeah. And they sell really well in the coastal areas and in bigger cities.
The yellow one. The Honda yellow one, it's a little more beefed up power scooter right there. The yellow green one.
Yeah,
that's the green. That's the Navi. You know the crazy thing about the Navis? They're $17.99 new, plus tax.
It's a 70-mile-an-hour vehicle.
Now that one will run about 52 with me or you, 45 with Kelly. Give or take some.
Y'all have a good weekend. I'll see you on.
But those are really great. They're good for campus running around. But $17.99, y'all, you're right at $2,000 out the door, pretty much.
What's the mileage on all these as well?
Now, most of these, pretty much every one of them through there, you're going to be 65 to 70 miles per hour.
You meant $1,700. I thought you meant $17,000.
No, sir. No. A $2,000 you could leave out of here. With
a scooter.
With that.
Going 65 miles a gallon.
Yep.
Wow.
For sure. I mean, so the front of the Navi, it looks like it's actually an engine compartment, but you just unlock it and open up, and you can put, like, book bag, whatever you want in there, your little Debbie's.
He was looking at me.
He was looking at me.
He was looking. Like, I'm the one that ate two cookies before the show.
Your little Debbie's.
All right. I was sending some pictures because I have a buddy. We were talking motorcycles the other day. Your Honda motorcycles at the end of this line right here look so good. Shadows and the
Rebels?
The Rebels, they look really good down at the end.
Yeah, and Honda really knocked it out of the park with the 3 and the 500cc. Very affordable, $5,500 and $6,500 plus tax on them, just for a beginner to get on. And those, you're still going to get 55, 60 miles per gallon with those. You're not going to have as much ump as
what's the CC on them?
You got a 300 single cylinder and a 500 dual cylinder. And then we got the 750 Shadow and then the 1100 DCT Rebel, which now it'll get
so what's great. What's hilarious is when I'm in India, 350 cc is massive. I used to tell them about 1100s and they were just, you know, what is going on? But I've ridden many times 350 and a 500, unless you're just, you know, want the bolts to shake. I mean, for a lot of people, I know it's bigger and better, but a lot of people, 500 would suit everything.
I mean, really, 500, you can run 90 miles an hour on interstate if you're just trying to pass somebody, get out of the way. 300, if you're just like in a college town, just wanting to cruise around, you're going to get good fuel mileage. It'll run probably 75. She's going to be screaming, but the 500 really is the best of both worlds. You can still pass people, have fun. It's got some power to play on, but, I mean, it's not going to get out in front of you and run 130 miles an hour, you know.
A motorcycle is a big part of your sales inventory?
Used to be, yes, but here lately, it's a dying thing. Like we used to, it was like a motocross thing come in the late, like 2018, 19, 20, and then it kind of died down. And then here come these right here. Like when these came out, we could only get two or three a year. And
the Cubs.
The Cubs, have you seen the super, you remember the monkeys?
Mm-hmm.
The monkey with the wide seat on it. And then you had the Trail 125 and the OD green, like the Army version. Those sold like crazy and people would literally buy them from us and want us to leave them in the crate. But the crates come from Honda, so we can't sell them the crate, and they literally are buying them just collectors. And these are all just leftovers that we've got from those, which really and truly those two right there belong to our owners. They just haven't taken them down to their place in Miami.
About a minute left. People who haven't been down here in a while, you guys kind of expanded into sporting goods. Case knives, there's fishing gear, all of that on the other side of the store.
Yeah, absolutely. Case knives. Then we brought in Maui Jim. Costa Del Mar will be next. We just got confirmation of that the other day. And there's another big thing we're looking at, hopefully to pick up by the end of the year, that me and you like to do all the time.
What?
That's, That's a big thing. You know, we're a thermal dealer. We do thermal optics, night vision, loophole. I mean, you name it, we can do all that, drop ship straight to your houses. But the end goal for me and the sporting good guys, I think you just get so much more foot traffic because the pew-pews, man. That's where it's
That'd be great.
I mean, that's what we're all pushing
There's cookies, too.
And yes,
there's cookies right here.
Kelly, what flavor do they have down there today?
I haven't had any cookies, although when you guys were talking about 500 cc's and 300, that's over my head. I was just going to say I had spaghetti for dinner last night.
I thought you had to fast.
Well, by 6 o'clock, I was done.
You know, you just add so much content to the show. Spaghetti for dinner last night. We appreciate that. Thank you very much. It always comes back to food. Why is that, Kelly?
I brought it up.
Yeah, man.
I always give directions like that, too. You go down here to the Chocolate Brown House.
Turn left at the milkshake.
Dairy Queen.
Color.
Yeah.
You going to stick around, Dakota?
Absolutely.
We got our picks for the weekend, right?
Yeah, we'll pick some baseball
games.
We'll
pick baseball next. We're at Ramey Motors in Purvis, where we absolutely love to come. We've got a good friend, Dakota Baker. We'll be right back.
And Power Sports.
Southern Miss to the top.
To the top.
You're tuned in to the Eagle Hour.
Final segment of the week. Eagle Hour live at Ramey's Motors and Power Sports in Purvis. Place to come get your man card punched. Good stuff. There's deer on the wall, turkeys on the wall, camo, case knives, boats.
Hats.
It's all
generators.
Here. And Dakota Baker.
I thought you said there's a turkey sitting next to you.
Yeah, no, it's on the wall right there. Scott Arender's got it on the wall. A full weekend, track and field, not cross country, they're finished. Track and field hosting the Southern Miss Open this weekend. Jada McDougal back at it. She is the reigning Sun Belt Track and Field Athlete of the Week. Softball host Texas State. So if you baseball out of town, one of see softball tonight at 6 p.m. At the complex. Basketball news, and I think we'll probably see more of this next week, but basketball gets two official transfers on the Southern Miss men's basketball page. Alfred Worrell, a 6'3", 200-pound guard from John A. Logan College, averaged 12 points a game last year. He's transferring in. John Wade III, a 6'6", 185-pound guard, played at Cal State Northridge, transfer as well. And there's chatter. There will probably be some more guys next week. So we're here with Dakota Baker. Real quick, Saints last night got a big offensive lineman. You're not looking excited about that. We're all happy that the Falcons overreached with Michael Penix at number 8.
I'm like, what in the world? But then we – I don't know. I think us four could go to the front office of the Saints and do so much better.
If Fuega was in here, he could move you out of the way at 6'6", 320.
There's no doubt. Okay. I don't know. I think I'd have a different attitude.
You give him some cookies. You would.
Yes. Yeah.
All right.
Debbie.
Baseball on the weekend. The standings of the Sun Belt: Louisiana 15-3. Three teams at 11-7. Troy, Coastal, and the Golden Eagles. Two teams at 10-8. James Madison, Georgia State. And two more teams at 500, Old Dominion, Georgia Southern. So Southern Miss taking on the best team in the conference. We'll get to that in a minute. A few picks. Texas State at Arkansas State. Both of those teams losing records. Texas State 7-11. Arky State at the bottom, 4-13-1. Kelly Center.
I'm going to take the home teams have been much
Jonesboro,
better.
It's in Jonesboro.
I'm going to take the Wolves.
Two out of three.
Yeah.
I agree with Kelly on that.
Yeah, I think they win 2 out of 3. Yeah.
I have been mystified by Texas State this year.
Me too. They have been a huge disappointment.
They have. I mean, still think they're going to win 2 out of 3. I just think Arkansas State isn't very good. ULM, who has been a thorn in everybody's side. Jay mentioned that they haven't been swept this year. Coach Fed rallied his troops last weekend. They are at Old Dominion in Norfolk. ULM on the year 6-12. Old Dominion 9-9.
ODU, 2 out of 3.
I'm gonna say the exact same thing.
Well, I'm going to pull for Federico. I'm going to say they're going to pull the upset and win the series 2-1.
I'll go Monarchs 2 out of 3 as well. Big series. App State at Georgia State. We should probably do an over-under for how many home runs will be hit during this. App State 8-9-1, Georgia State 10-8.
They recruit that team for that park. Georgia State 2 out of 3.
I agree.
Yeah, and there will be a Little League game on that field between the first and second game.
Man,
if Georgia State will win.
Got a bag of popcorn for chasing down those home run balls, you can make out like a bandit.
I could hit a home run on that ball.
See what the weather's going to be. I'll take Georgia State 2 out of 3. Marshall at Georgia Southern. Big weekend for Georgia Southern. They could get to 12-9 with a sweep.
Georgia Southern's really good at home, and they will win. They'll take the sweep. All 3 games.
I go Georgia Southern 2 out of 3.
2 out of 3.
I'll say Georgia Southern with the sweep. James Madison, 27 RPI team, pushing. They're in Mobile at Stanky Field against South Alabama.
Well, it's not that stanky a field.
That's a hell of a name.
It's a nice one. but I'm gonna take the Jags 2 out of 3 at home.
I think James Madison wins 2 out of 3.
Yeah, the Jags are pretty stanky themselves, so I'm going with James Madison.
James Madison's at large. If they were to lose 2 out of 3 this weekend, they would drop significantly, so I think they'll rise to the occasion. Fun series in Conway, Troy at Coastal. Troy 11-7, Coastal 11-7. Who's going to be in second place?
This is really a big series, and I think Coastal wins 2 out of 3 at home.
I haven't seen Coastal play, but I know Troy played us well watching them play. But no, I agree. I'm going to go Troy 2 out of 3.
Yeah, Coastal. I'm taking Coastal.
I'm going Troy.
Okay.
I'm going Troy.
Coastal has a big advantage on their home field, so
right.
Coastal 2
I
out
would
three.
Love Troy to knock down
I'd
Coastal,
like
get
Troy
ready for the Eagles next week. All right, Billy Oldham tonight, Nico Mazza tomorrow, TBA on Sunday. The Cajuns will throw Andrew Herman tonight, a lefty. 2.77 ERA, a lefty tomorrow in Case Morgan, 2.7 ERA, and a righty on Sunday, Carson Fluno, 2.7 ERA.
And a lot of left-handed Southern Miss hitters. I don't like the math in this one, you guys. I really don't.
Go ahead and say it, Center. What you going to say? Throwing the team under the bus?
No. I mean, obviously I'm going to be cheering for him, but the numbers say take the Cajuns 2 out of 3.
Get his Debbie Cakes.
That's what I'm feeling. I hope Southern can take 2 out of 3 for sure. But
Eagles are going to surprise everybody and win 2 out of 3.
I think they'll get 2 out of 3. I think we will see offense this weekend, and I could be eating my words. I think that the ERAs of the Louisiana staff may be a little higher after this weekend.
About the only thing I've not been accused of eating is your words.
Well, I'm sure you're headed to the cookies as soon as I wrap this up, right?
You are correct, sir.
Dakota, thank you, buddy. Always
we appreciate y'all, guys.
All right, Ramey Motors, come here for a multiple selection of great man gifts at Ramey Motors and Purvis. Back Monday, 1 o'clock in the studio. Until then, Southern Miss.
To the top. To the sea.
A Super Talk Mississippi Media Production.